Today on With the First Pick, it's our What We Think Should Happen mock draft ahead of the 2024 NFL Draft. And Rick, because this is such a momentous, important occasion, producer Debo has gotten us some help. I'm Ryan Wilson. That's Rick Spielman. And we're joined by two faces you may recognize, CBS Sports Draft analyst Josh Edwards, who it turns out is about to be on the losing team, and Shrine Bowl director Eric Galco. This is episode 149. Before we get going, oh, Rick, I forgot. I got distracted. How many days?
I can't see it, but if you'd help me out. What? No way. There are 3 days. Eric and Josh, I have to tell you, this is the only line that I'm allowed to have, that there are actually only 3 days until the 2024 NFL draft.
Hey, Eric, I'll ask you first because you're our guest of guests. Any famous number threes pop into your head? If not, I have some backups for you.
I don't. I'm terrible with jersey numbers. That's not my thing. I got like Tom Brady 12, and that's about all I have in my brain right now.
No, so, that's okay.
Who's a three? Who can be a good three?
I'll give you a good three. And then, Josh, you can give us a better one as I see you racking your brain, the hamster running around there. Bobby Hebert was three, guys. Good old Bobby Hebert. What do you got, Josh?
You got Russell Wilson, Carson Palmer, nice. Matt Stover, who, of course, was against the Cleveland move to Baltimore. So, you know, some local ties there. There's been some good ones over the course of history.
That's a pretty good one. Anyone's left, Rick? I got one more.
Frank Gore Jr. was number three at the East-West Shrine Bowl this year.
There That's it my is. Number three. So. That's what I was looking for. Rick, Daryl LaMonica, Jeff George.
Yeah, that's great. That's good.
Hey,
Ryan, can I share a story with you?
I would love to hear a story, Rick.
Okay, before we get started, since this is a team event, I have to share this story. So, Eric and Josh, if you don't know that I can get pretty competitive on the pickleball court. When I play against my wife, I try to smash her as many times as I can with a ball, and that doesn't go over well. Not only with her, but with the rest of the family down here on Sanibel Island. So I've been reprimanded a couple of times. And I said, well, if you're not going to play to win, then don't play. So we were at a Fort Myers Mighty Muscles Class A affiliated with the Twins baseball game. And I saw this lady walking up the aisle with a shirt on. And I couldn't believe what I saw. It just, for 20 minutes, I complained about the shirt. So because I complained so much, because my competitiveness, especially when it comes to my family, when we play sports, they had a shirt made up for me. And I thought it was apropos for this podcast. So I'm going to show you what the shirt says. I just hope both of you have fun.
Is that the shirt the woman had on?
Yes, and I like went through the roof, and I texted it to my brother right away, and I said maybe Dan Campbell would like to have this on before the pregames when they're walking around out there. So today, I just hope we all have fun today.
That's great. You know what? And I wonder how Debo was thinking as you got halfway through the story. I thought this was going to be one of these elaborate dad joke setups, and it was going to be terrible. But this is actually the best ending possible. I like that. I like the shirt. I was wondering why you did some push-ups before the show. You're bulging your muscles. And you want both teams just to have
it. I was ready to cut that story out of the podcast, but I think I'll keep it.
Oh, thank you for sparing us the dad joke. And I like it. Did you get those made up for everybody or just you?
No, the family kind of went in. It showed up on my doorstep yesterday.
And I love it.
I said, I will wear it on the podcast.
I love it.
No, that's since we're having a team mock draft.
Where's the lib by as you whiz the pickleball at your wife as hard as possible. All right, here we go. Here's the deal for our purposes here. Just two teams. And Debo, I found this out before we just started the show here. Rick, I was on your team and you traded me and your mom for a bag of cookies so you could have Josh. So it's me and Eric versus Rick and Josh. I'm going to go back and forth, do a little mock draft here. And this is what we think should happen. Right, Debo?
Yeah.
And we can have trades. So we're not going to worry about the draft compensation so much, but trades that make sense, trades that are potentially likely to happen. And, oh, your dogs love that shirt too, Rick. All right, Eric, I think you and I have the first pick. Team Rick and Josh are going to be the evens. We'll be the odds. Anything crazy you want to do here? You just want to keep it simple.
I think Frank Gore Jr., right? Number three. No. No, I mean, Ryan, I think the answer is obviously Caleb Williams. We'll talk the rest of the picks out. This feels like the one, too. I've been fascinated by what the Bears have done around Caleb this offseason, right? Keenan Allen, Maybe they can receiver at 9. We'll see what happens when we get there. But looking to add more weapons, and they're truly setting up this team to, I think, be competitive year one. And I think that's a bold move. If it doesn't work out, then you have a team that's in a weird flux. But I think if it does work out, you got a guy like Caleb Williams on a rookie contract. So Bears at getting Caleb Williams, their franchise quarterback, and let's see if Ryan Poles can put a great team around him as quickly as possible.
Done and done. No pushback here. All right, Josh, prepare to enjoy draft day, Rick. So at 2, and Josh, quickly, we know where Rick is on his quarterback ranking. So who's your QB 2?
Drake May is my quarterback 2, ahead of Jaden Daniels, ahead of JJ McCarthy. So for me, that would be the pick here. Although I do like the idea of holding Spencer Rattler hostage, because I do know the team at number 3 overall happens to love him. So perhaps we were able to swing a deal there.
Hey, by the way, Rick, just so you know, the only bigger Spencer Rattler fan on this podcast right now is Eric Galco.
Okay, Eric, thanks for joining the show. There'll be a departing gift for you on your way out.
There'll be a T-shirt, Spencer Rattler T-shirt.
All right, a T-shirt like this. You can wear this.
I just hope every quarterback wins. That's all. Have fun. That's all.
There you go. Exactly.
I think you should pass these out at the East-West game next year.
Yeah, that's what I should do. That's how I feel. I hope both teams just have fun and stay healthy. That's all I care about is an All-Star game.
That's actually true. All right, Rick, what are you guys doing? I think it's pretty easy, right?
Go ahead, Josh. Take who you want. I'll just tell you this, okay?
No.
There's some talk that the coaches want to really go with Jaden Daniels to fit what Cliff Kingsbury wants. Some Drake May. There's some concerns. I think that involved. I think they're leaning Jaden Daniels, but I'll let you go ahead and make this selection.
Hey, if you think they're leaning Jaden Daniels, we'll keep it realistic and just go with Jaden Daniels here.
All right. So you guys both love Drake May and you go with Jaden Daniels. Okay. That's how you get fired, guys. All right. What do you think here, Eric? Are you sold on Drake May? I think you're a little higher.
Ring-a-ring-a-ding. Ring-a-ring-a-ding.
I was going to say, do we want to take any phone calls?
I think we do. I think the Patriots will want to take some calls. Ooh. Elliot Wolf, right? Son of Ron Wolf, wants to be, I think, at least hear the calls a little bit too. And the question for New England is, are you ready for a quarterback in that building? Can they support Drake May? I think Drake May could be Trevor Lawrence type of player, or it could be Sam Darnold, where a lot of talent just doesn't work out because the team's not ready for him around him too. So I think taking a call, there are some teams that might be very interested in Drake May being here at 3. One of them may be one of Drake May's high school coaches, Josh McCown, now in Minnesota, for the 3rd pick in the draft. And New England may say, hey, how many first-round picks you want off here, Ryan?
Exactly. So, Rick, what's the price to go from, say, 5 or 4 all the way up to 3 if you're Elliott Wolf and you know that the Vikings are desperate?
And I know they want a quarterback. So here's what I'm going to offer you, Team X or whatever your name is.
Patriots.
I will give you both my first-round picks this year. According to the trade chart, I will give you my first-round pick next year, which is more than enough, and I may throw in some chump change at the end of the draft. So would you consider taking that for us to move up from 11 to number 3?
Guys, that work for you, Eric?
The chump change might matter a little bit, just if I'm being – because I have so much leverage here. I do worry about going from 3 to 11 and missing out on the top 7, 8 guys, and the Giants just shot me a text saying they can get a decent offer from 6. But I think if you can offer all 3 of those first-round picks and a bit more, I think we'll do that deal. What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah. If the chump change rhymes with Justin Jefferson, then you absolutely have a deal. Yeah. All right. Let's do that, Debo. Vikings come up. We get 11 and 23.
Yeah.
And 2025 first-rounder and some other stuff to be determined.
And that's about the same what the Niners traded up for Trey Lance, 3 firsts and an extra 3rd to go from about 12 to 3-2. So it does add up.
All right. So we had pick 11 anyway, so we would still have this pick as the odd team. So Drake May was obviously going to be the guy. We agree with that, Eric?
Yeah. Drake May needs some time. I think he needs a redshirt year. Sam Darnold on a 1-year deal. That team is set up for success. Whenever Drake May plays, it's a slam dunk.
Eric, I'll ask you this. I can't ask the other team. I would typically ask Rick this. But which rookie quarterback is best positioned of the ones that have gone off the board so far to have the most success early based on the coaching staff? You feel comfortable with that?
Yeah, I think it's even, you know, if Drake May plays week 11, it might be Drake May. I think that Washington team still needs some offensive line help for the future. We may see them go back up. I think the Bears, based a lot on Keenan Allen's health and how quickly that offense can adapt. But Drake May walk into a situation that whenever he plays, he's got the best receiver in football and a bookend offensive tackle, maybe a bit more. So I'd still say Drake May.
Okay. All right. Rick and Josh, you're on the clock, the Arizona Cardinals.
All right. Thanks for making the pick. I thought we actually just moved up to make that pick. But since, you know, that's.
Yeah, I thought we were taking Marvin Harrison Jr. What was that?
You can take him now. You guys have evens. We have odds. That's okay. Debo's rule, not my rule.
Well, again, Debo's not very clear on his instructions when he sends out emails. But that's a whole nother topic. We can discuss this offseason.
That'll be a post-draft podcast, a whole hour devoted to Debo.
All right, Josh, go ahead and take the pick.
Well, just looking at Arizona's past at the wide receiver position, needing some help in that spot, I think for me personally, I would lean towards Marvin Harrison Jr. here. He is my top-rated wide receiver. Give them a little bit more size at the position, and then give Kyler Murray a fighting chance, because in the past couple of years, he really has not had size at the wide receiver position. So we add that to the room this year.
All right, Marvin, it is. All right, Rick, I'll ask Eric what he thinks about this. But do the Denver Broncos, do they want to make a phone call to five to where Eric and I currently sit?
I think their phone call would be ignored by Jim Harbaugh. I think the Broncos in this situation would be desperately calling Monty Ausenfort because, hey, we know that Jim Harbaugh, how much he loves J.J. McCarthy. And I don't know where J.J. McCarthy is going to go, but I think Jim Harbaugh would absolutely make sure, best he can, to make sure he's not in Denver and playing against him twice a year too. So I think if George Payton calls Jim Harbaugh or Joe Horowitz, that call will be quickly declined.
There's no price that would get you off of that, Eric?
Nothing. No, I think how much Jim Harbaugh loves McCarthy and how much he can control that destiny. And, you know, again, I think also there's four consensus quarterbacks here. After that, teams have a bit of question marks, and preventing your division rival from getting not only your favorite quarterback, but a franchise quarterback. Yeah, there's six first round picks, I don't think would be enough for Jim Harbaugh.
So what I'm hearing is that you think, or perhaps you know, that the love with which Jim Harbaugh talks about J.J. McCarthy is real. It's not, he's not smokescreening us.
No, he does. I think if there's a different job that he'd taken, he'd probably, without a franchise quarterback, Justin Herbert, it might be a real question whether they trade for J.J. McCarthy. So
okay.
I think
well, if we're staying put,
coach at Minnesota, it'd be trading up for J.J. McCarthy, not Drake May. That's how much I think he loves him.
If we're staying put, what are you thinking here?
Jim Harbaugh's always wanted to run the ball. Did it at Michigan. This year at Michigan, he added three transfers in the transfer portal on the offensive line. Two of them didn't start week one. I mean, he just wants offensive linemen in his building. If it was me, I'd say, hey, even if Marvin Harrison's available, I'd still want Joel. But I think that's – and the draft starts at five with quarterbacks maybe going 1, 2, 3, 4. I think Joel might be the first non-quarterback taken. But what do you think, Ryan?
Oh, I just love – I hate leaving Malik Nabers here, especially after Quentin Johnson didn't work out. And you don't need a left tackle. You would just put Joe at the right side.
Yeah, yeah.
So the question becomes, because they pick early in the second round too, I believe. Do you go tackle wide receiver or wide receiver tackle, or maybe you go somewhere else?
It's up to you. I think receiver makes some sense. I think Jim Harbaugh would love to address the offensive line if he can. And Joe Walt's the best guy, but
right.
They're both good options.
Let's do Joe Walt. We haven't done Joe Walt a lot to the Chiefs here, so let's do Joe Walt at five. Next up, the Giants, at six.
I don't think Rick likes that pick.
Horrible.
I do love that we have company over, so he can't act quite as angry as he might act if there's me and him.
Well,
we're
just having fun. Both teams are just having fun.
We're having fun, Rick. All right, hey, the Giants need a quarterback, maybe. So what are you guys doing? J.J. McCarthy's still there.
I don't know. Josh, I'm leaning towards taking J.J. here. They got one more year under Daniel Jones, and then they can get out of that contract. Daniel Jones coming off an ACL. So why not get your quarterback of the future here? They've done a lot in free agency. They traded for Burns. They built up that offensive line, but they don't have a quarterback of the future. I think they seriously got to consider J.J. McCarthy here.
Yeah, Malik Nabers is enticing, but I think it is very fitting that you and I take J.J. McCarthy because we've been trying to get Ryan on board with him since the fall. So, I think he's a great option for that franchise moving forward. Gives him a little bit more stability because, as you said, Daniel Jones may not be their quarterback beyond the upcoming year. So let's solidify that position for the long term.
All right. JJ McCarthy. So we don't get four quarterbacks in the top five, four in the top six here. All right. I mean, Olufashinu, I know you like Olu. I like Olu a lot. Is that a slam dunk? Or we're staring at Malik Nabers and Roma Dunze as well?
You know, I will say that I don't believe Malik Nabers or receivers should be ruled out for Tennessee. They've got Hopkins. They signed Calvin Ridley. But they've done a lot of work on these receivers. And if the board plays this way and they take Malik Nabers, like I think it's probably a toss-up. But I wonder a different offensive lineman that I think a lot of teams really like, especially talking to teams the last couple of weeks, J.C. Latham is a tackle. And I think he might be the favorite to be the second offensive lineman taken. Obviously, depending on the team, some teams like Talisi Fuago could play right tackle or guard too. But I think Latham is a guy that a lot of teams are pretty high on. And despite my love for Olu, I think a lot of teams feel J.C. is going to be the second offensive lineman taken. And for Tennessee, it's do we add a third receiver? Or do we take maybe a left tackle our biggest need? So it's up to you, Ryan. But I would say my pick, if it's offensive line, would be JC based off how I think they're going to go on draft day.
Let's go JC. Yeah, let's mix it up. Let's do something different. Love it.
Yeah.
JC Latham it is. And Rick, you're a big JC guy. So seven seem too high for you for JC?
No, I just wondered, wait, who's going to play left tackle for him?
Peter Skoronski.
Okay.
We got time to figure that out. All right.
Okay. Yeah, good luck.
And you guys get a glimpse behind the curtain. All right, next up, the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, the way this board is falling, this hasn't happened in the months we've been doing this, Rick, so this is interesting. You guys have decisions to make. I should point out in my mock draft that came out Monday what I thought teams should do. I had Byron Murphy going here. Like, I love the idea of Byron Murphy going top 10, but he's not even on the board yet on the big board we're using. You can take them, of course, but they're two wide receivers standing right in the face as well.
Could one of our odd picks, Ryan, make a call here to the?
Oh yeah,
the
of course. Who are we?
Is that all right. So we're the Indianapolis Colts are calling up.
All right. What do you want, Rick and Josh? To go down to 15.
15 all the way up to 8.
Yeah.
That's going to be at least a second plus.
Okay. All right. Debo, you can hit the button. We'll give Rick whatever he wants. He's got that t-shirt on, so we're all trying to have fun here. Oh, I can't wait to see what. So you guys do have the 15th pick now, so I'll make sure you get that when it comes on the board. So we keep the.
I do think there will be multiple teams that are trying to get on the phone with Atlanta right now. I think the Jets would probably have interest trying to give Aaron Rodgers another weapon. I know everybody's talking about Brock Bowers, but the fact that Malik Nabers is just two picks ahead. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of teams if this happens on draft night.
Well, you know, it's funny.
We called first.
you can at pick 9, I think you're going to have an opportunity to trade down as well.
Yep.
All right. So once the trade is consummated, Eric, I want to hear who you're going to take here.
You know, I think there's also, I mean, I've talked to some people in the league that think Romo Dunze could be wide receiver too, right? And it fits their scheme as well too. But I think for what the Colts already have and Michael Pittman, I think getting Malik Nabers, getting a guy to take the top off the defense with how strong Anthony Richardson's arm is, right, getting a guy who can really exploit that vertically, open up the mid-range stuff. I think Nabers is a guy the Colts would love to add to that offense and kind of complete that receiving core. So Nabers would be my pick if we're at 8-2, but I can make an offer for Madunze as well, too.
I'm all in on Nabers. I love that. Yeah. I think the Colts would love it, and AR5 would love it as well. Yeah. Debo, are we frozen? There.
There we are.
Oh, you're redoing it? Behind the scenes,
just hit the button that says they drafted Malik Nabers. That's all. It's not that hard.
Look at the shirt, Rick. Look at the shirt.
Oh, yeah, we're just having fun today. Okay, the phone is ringing, Josh. And guess who is coming up? I'm going to say the New Orleans Saints are going to come up.
Oh, wait, what?
Wow.
Mickey Loomis has always been aggressive. I think I read an article out of 21 drafts, 20 times he has moved up. He always is all in. So I'm going to say they call the Chicago Bears. Now, if I give you my second round pick, New Orleans does not have a third and fourth round pick. If I give you my second round pick, it's too rich. I'm going to offer the second round pick in 25. But knowing Mickey and knowing how aggressive he is, he just wants to go get players. He don't care. I'll throw in the second round pick in 25 and maybe a chip on the back this year to come up to number 9 so we can flop. You guys okay with that?
We'd probably like to get a get a 2024 pick of how few picks the Bears have in this draft too, but that's a good offer. We'll take it.
All right, there you go. Interesting. Right. So Josh's Jets get leapfrogged for the purpose of our conversation here by the Saints. Rick, I can only imagine what you guys are coming up for.
Yeah, and Josh, if you're good with this, they need a franchise left tackle, and Olu Fashanu's still there. Mickey's always going to go in. Oh, and Penning hasn't worked out at left tackle. They can move him to right or inside a guard. So we're going to go, if you're good with it, Olu Fashanu from Penn State as the left tackle.
Love it.
Yeah, I was concerned you were going with Adunze, but I'm much better with taking the left tackle here.
Thank you.
And this works out for the, I mean, Jets, best case scenario for them. So this is, Debo, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is Rick and Josh's pick again because they're evens.
Correct.
All right. So, Josh, your dreams have come true. If Rick agrees with you.
Well, I think you would have a decision between Rome Adunze and Brock Bowers, but Adunze is rated a little bit higher. So for me, that would be the selection, but I'll leave it up to Rick.
Let's go with it, Josh. Let's get another weapon since we're all in.
Now the Patriots find themselves at 11. I'll just say this. I like Michael Penix Jr. a little bit more than Eric, so I don't know if Eric wants to go Michael Penix Jr. at 11. They need offensive line help. They need wide receiver help. I mean, they could take Brock Bowers here. What direction do we want to lean?
Yeah, honestly, you know, when I've kind of played this out, not having both Olu or J.C. Latham or the receivers here is probably a scenario that's probably tough for the Patriots we're at right now, too. And maybe if the draft starts falling this way, maybe they're calling 8, 9, 10, right, to get up for a receiver as well, too. I'll defer to you, Ron. I think most people think, and I would agree, that offensive line and receiver are their two biggest needs. But the Patriots probably want to keep adding that defense. And I think a guy like Quinyon Mitchell or Dallas Turner, even Byron Murphy, like just add more talent. They need talent in a lot of places. And I think if you're the Patriots, you're still building for the future. Just taking the best player available. It sounds cliche, but on that defense, they can use guys pretty much everywhere too. So if it's offensive tackle receiver, that makes sense. And Brian Thomas and Talisi Fuaga. But I think best player available on defense is a move here at 11.
Yeah, let me double check because I have not thought about this once over the course of the draft because it's never been a consideration. But let's see. So they have Christian Barmore. Who else do they have inside? They have
Keon White, who kind of plays that D end, five tech role, and linebacker's not here either. And then corner, they've got Christian Gonzalez, who's a stud. Ooh. Jonathan Jones, last year of his deal. A lot of other guys behind him are younger too. So maybe Quinyon Mitchell makes sense too. And then edge rusher, Matthew Judon. You know, he's on the back end as well too. So
all right, here's what I'm thinking, Eric, and tell me what you think. I think at 23 we have a chance to get a good cornerback. I love Byron Murphy here. I think he's a top 10 guy, and he's not something that we were targeting because we didn't think we'd be in the situation, but he feels like the surest of unsure things as we sit here at 11.
I joke with you, Ryan. I think I joke sometimes guys are 10 play guys, right? You watch 10 plays. Hey, this guy's great. I'm done wasting my time here. I think Byron Murphy, for me, I went to University of Texas practice. He was a one drill guy. I was like, this guy is maybe the best defensive player in the country. So getting him at 11 is a value no matter what.
Rick loves him too. So we're all on the same page there. All right. Next up, Denver Broncos, Rick. There's a quarterback sitting there.
Absolutely not, Josh.
All right.
I think they got to look at corner or edge rusher. And I think the word on the street is they're doing a lot of research on Terrion Arnold. Also, you have Dallas Turner there. You can't have enough edge rushers. They definitely need an edge rusher before the edge rushers fall off. They don't have enough picks. No one's calling us because I'd like to trade down if I could. But I don't think this is going to happen. So I would either lean towards Terrion Arnold or Dallas Turner.
Yeah, as much as I love Quinyon Mitchell, the idea of pairing those two Alabama cornerbacks together is definitely appealing. And cornerback is a position that I've linked to them this entire process. As much as I love Dallas Turner here, I think I'm leaning in the direction of Terrion Arnold. Mm. We'll just go ahead and take Terrion Arnold.
I can live with that, although it makes it a lot easier for defensive backs when you got people all over the quarterback rushing, but that's fine. You just, you do you.
All right. So, Eric, let's think about what we're going to do here at 13. But first, let's take a quick break, reconvene, take some phone calls, get some Rick t-shirts. We'll be right back right after this. All right. Eric, cornerback feels like an obvious need, but there's some offensive linemen sitting out there too. I'm guessing we're not taking Michael Penix, so I'll just.
I was going to say, you're not going to bring up Penix at all. I was waiting for you to bring him up.
Better talk about him.
I brought it up too many times. I get it.
On Penix and on the Raiders in particular, I think one thing I'm curious on is you look at the teams that have taken quarterbacks, might take quarterbacks in this draft, right? The Bears, Commanders, Patriots, Vikings, and Broncos. All those teams have quarterback rooms kind of set up to take a quarterback in the first round or two. I think the Raiders, I mean, Aiden O'Connell did pretty well for them a year ago. That locker room likes him. And then Gardner Minshew was signed for a lot too. So if you draft Michael Penix or anybody here, you're basically putting one of those two guys into de facto third string. And that just feels like that wouldn't be the right, I don't know. That'd be a strange approach in my opinion too. So I think quarterback is definitely in play to your point, Ryan, but I'd look, if I was a GM, my vote would be to go a different direction here too. So where are you thinking?
So cornerback, Quinion's still there. I love cornerback. Offensive line, I mean, Thayer Mumford's their guy, but he's a former seventh round pick at right tackle. They could use help on the interior. I think with the offensive lineman there, that's also intriguing. Anything in particular direction wise?
You know what? I think the teams that have cleared Laiatu Latu medically, he would be a great pick here. I don't know where the Raiders stand on that particular two. Again, if it was me, knowing if Aiden O'Connell liked my quarterback going into the year two, I love to bolster that offensive line. I think there Mumford's good, but Talisi Fuaga can play right tackle. If Mumford's great, he can play right guard. So Fuaga would be my guy. But I think a Jared Verse, Laiatu Latu, Dallas Turner makes sense here as well as corners. So I think all three are good spots. Might be a who's the best guy on our board at the time. And on my board, it's probably Fuaga. What do you
think, Ryan? I'm with you. And, you know, hopefully Tyree Wilson has a bounce back year. They have Max Crosby, okay. I think, offensive line. Let's go Tully Fuaga, Debo. Next up, the Bears. This is our pick, Debo.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You have Bears.
Well, how come they keep getting to get picks?
You had the Falcons. Don't worry.
Dumb.
So we traded down from 9 to 14. We have Caleb Williams, got a ton of draft picks. Didn't have very many coming in. So, and Dallas Turner's still here, if that's what you're thinking, unless you want to go.
Yeah, no, I think so, too. I think the only piece is that, you know, A, because of the Saints trade made earlier for a 2025 second, and also we just need more picks. I'd love to keep the phone lines open
for
someone wanting.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Thomas or Brock Bowers or somebody else too, but I'm not sure who wants to move up that far. And I think if you're the Bears, you want more picks, but you want good players here as well too. So do you have a team in mind, Ryan, that might want to trade up this far, or you think you want to stay put and get the best, you know, get your top edge rusher?
Do the Cowboys want to come from 24 for an offensive tackle that they can be sure will be there? Yeah, Buffalo potentially looking at wide receiver. Those are all even, so those would be your guys. You guys have any interest, Rick and Josh?
No. Let's take the damn guy and move on.
Read the shirt, Rick. Read the shirt.
Yeah, all right. I think we get some calls, but I think that the Bears situation here, trading down, getting future picks, and still getting Dallas Turner to pair with Montez Sweat would be outstanding. That'd be a great day.
I agree. I'm laughing at Rick just on draft night, just yelling at people. Do you turn your phone off during the draft, Rick, like when you were GM, or do you actually take phone calls?
No, I had two people taking calls.
Oh, I got you. Okay. All right. Now, this is your pick, Rick, 15, because you were the Falcons originally.
Okay, this is a no-brainer for me, Josh, but let me hear what you're thinking since you're the guest.
So for me, I would be either between Jared Verse, Laiatu Latu, or Quinion Mitchell. I think they have a solidified offensive line. The offense in general is you know, pretty well established, so I would be looking on the defensive side of the ball.
Yep. Can I make a pick?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Thanks. I appreciate it.
You got it.
Yeah. If I'm just a scout in the corner, I know I need edge rush because I was even talking about Dallas Turner at 8. I can't believe Jared Verse is still there. You got to get pressure on the quarterback. So to me, this is a no-brainer. Jared Verse. Edge, Florida State.
And you guys are right back on the clock with Seattle at 16 because you're now back. We're back on schedule. evens and odds.
As we're thinking real quick, Jared Verse would be a top 10 pick in most drafts. And I see people mocking him in the 20s. I think he's an outstanding player. And I think getting him here is a great value.
No, thank you. I'll be able to sleep better tonight.
Here's the good thing. I'm glad that you treat everyone this way, because people thought it was just me.
This is so good. Thank you, Rick.
Is that why we only have guests on once? Only one that keeps coming back is Josh.
That's right. All right. Now
that I just finally got through therapy, so I'm allowed back now.
Yeah. And then you got to stock up on the therapy again. All right. What are you guys doing at 16 now that Rick is well rested?
Josh, we can go inside. We need offensive line. We can go another D tackle here. So we have to take care of the line. So I'm good if you go either with an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman here.
Yeah, my head is initially with the interior offensive line. Troy Fatanu obviously has some familiarity with that offensive coaching staff, having come from Washington. Last year, they suffered a lot of injuries at the offensive tackle position. So I think taking a player that has the versatility to play both tackle and guard is going to be appealing as well in the event that they do find themselves in a similar situation as last year. So that's the pick that I've always been drawn to for Seattle. But do you have a preference along the offensive line?
No, the offensive coordinator out in Seattle coached this kid that you're referring to, Troy Fatanu. And I can save money on travel expenses because he could just drive right down the street to the facility. So that's a win-win for everybody. So if you're good, Josh, let's take Troy Fatanu.
Let's do it.
He wears biker shorts, but okay. All right. Pick 17. And Eric, don't be deterred. If you want to still suggest some trades, don't mind the scout in the corner.
No, I just think that's probably a hard spot now. These teams in the back end of the first don't have a ton of great assets to move up either. You're trading your first and second round pick. And then if you're even the Bills or the Chiefs, you're trading, you know, to move up for a guy, you're basically giving up a pick until the late 90s. So it's hard to move up unless you really feel you have no needs. I also think Jacksonville in this spot is probably more likely to trade up than trade back, right? If a receiver start falling, maybe they get interested too. I think they probably prefer Terrion Arnold. So the two guys I'm debating, Ryan, are Brian Thomas at receiver, right? They wanted Calvin Ridley, didn't get him. I think one more receiver really makes Trevor Lawrence appealing. Or is it probably their biggest need, which is corner, probably Quinyon Mitchell? So I'm cool with either one of those picks. That's a tough spot here for Jacksonville.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think I'm leaning Quinyon a little bit because the wide receiver class is a little deeper. I do love Brian Thomas Jr., but I think Quinyon in that division now suddenly makes a lot more sense. You want to go Quinyon? Unless you're
cool with it, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Unless you really want Brian Thomas Jr. All right. Bengals at 18. Is Brock Bauer still sitting there? Is he at the top, Debo? Oh, my goodness. All right, Rick, you have some tough decisions to make. You going to protect Joe Burrow as you seem to want to do because that apparently is important, or do you want to give him another weapon?
But I also have concern for my defensive tackle. We signed Sheldon Rankins, but we also lost DJ Ritter. So you got Newton here. You got Bowers here. So I'm thinking I can swing and maybe get another tackle in the second round because I don't think any of these are this high on my board. So, Josh, you can go with Brock Bowers, which is great value here at 18. Gives Joe Burrow another weapon, or do we feel a need? Because after Johnny Newton goes, there's not another defensive tackle that are going to be in the first round. So you got to look at that as well.
Yeah, and of course, the future of T. Higgins has to be taken into account because he's likely entering his final year, even if he does finish the season with the franchise. Going back to Joe Burrow's time in Baton Rouge, he loved the tight end position. That is where I would personally be leaning because he is such great value at this stage of the first round. I do think that cornerback is a consideration. I think defensive tackle is a consideration. And I would love to address the offensive tackle, but for me, I think Bowers almost has to be the choice because he's the best value. But if you see it differently, then we can go in a different direction.
Geez, boy, you're very cooperative. But how can you have
Brock Bowers? This is teamwork, Rick. You know, we're just trying to have fun here. So
I'm just trying to have fun.
Yep.
So I'm going to – let's do Brock Bowers. He's too high on our draft board. It's another offensive weapon for Joe Burrow.
All right. Rams are on the clock. And I mean, Johnny Newton is an obvious choice because of the retirement of Aaron Donald. I love Leiatu Latu here just because of the value you've talked about, Eric. But I'm open to suggestion.
I think it's a great board for the Rams here. I think DB is also a pretty important need for them to kind of address. They've kind of used a lot of later round picks and free agents kind of fill that spot. Cooper DeJean can play nickel safety. He makes sense too. I think Sean McVay, who I think Peter Schrager mentioned it, but hasn't had a first round pick in a long time. Going offense, you got Brian Thomas right there, right? Brian Thomas, Puka Nacua, and Cooper Kupp for the future. Maybe look for your quarterback in round two, round three to be the guy for the future to kind of work with those guys. So Brian Thomas would be really appealing. I do think the Rams would be a prime trade back team, right? They probably have a couple needs. They may not have a guy here that's like abusing need to, but for my money, it'd be another defensive lineman, like you mentioned, Brian Thomas or Cooper DeJean, just depends on what their flavor might be. And offensive line's an option too, although I think to Rick's point, this tier of offensive linemen probably not worth the 19th pick in the draft.
All right, let's do Brian Thomas Jr. again. Let's do something different. We haven't done that before. I love the idea of him. And he can still be a vertical threat with all the other stuff that Cooper Kupp and Puka can do underneath and just let Brian learn on the job. All right, Steelers up at 20. Don't mess this up, guys.
I'm thinking long snapper. it's one of the bigger needs in this franchise. I'm thinking
Rattler myself.
Oh, okay. That's
a good point. By the way, a couple of boxes there with Ryan.
I'll mention this, and I don't know if Eric would agree or not, but I was talking to some people over the weekend. It sounds like Jackson Powers Johnson might slip out of the round one.
I'm trying to get the reason why, but I think I do know the reason why.
I heard no injury, but I don't know if you know something else. All right. Except for the chest bump of the combine, but people don't want to talk about that for some reason. All right. What are you guys doing at 20?
Boy, you got offensive line that definitely need help. I've been a Jackson Powers Johnson fan, but I also need corner help. I can go anywhere. Need receiver help as well, but I don't like any of the receivers here right now. So I can go either corner, which is a big need for them, or I just don't want to take an offensive lineman here, although I need it. The only offensive lineman I would consider here is maybe Graham Barton.
Yeah, why wouldn't you consider him?
I just said that.
But why wouldn't you take him here? You said the only one you consider. You said you lean in another way.
Yeah, I just don't know how many corners will be there when I pick in a second round either. And maybe, a corner, you got a better chance of getting a offensive lineman in the second round than you do right here.
Okay.
But we're not doing a two-round mock, so I was assuming that maybe a Zach Frazier or somebody like that will be able to get in the second round. So do you go corner here? And, boy, I want to really try to put it to Debo and the Philadelphia Eagles that are across the hall.
All right, well, we need an answer. That's how this works.
Josh?
I'm good with corners. The only question is whether you prefer Nate Wiggins or Kool-Aid McKinstry here, because I do know the Alabama ties. Wiggins may have a little bit higher ceiling, but you've already got Joey Porter Jr. in the room, so maybe McKinstry is a little bit safer of a pick.
What's Cooper staring you in the face?
Why wouldn't you consider Cooper DeJean?
He's a Browns fan, and he thinks Cooper's too good. That's what I'm hearing.
No, I do think he's a great player. I think those two corners would be a better pairing for Joey Porter Jr. For me personally. I mean,
yeah, I don't hate that. I get it.
Take a corner, whichever corner you like. Don't take Nate Wiggins over Kool-Aid.
Don't take Nate Wiggins over Kool-Aid. It's the only instruction.
Well, like I said, I was already leaning towards McKinstry anyway, so we'll go in that direction.
All right. Perfect. Absolutely not the pick I would have made, but whatever. All right, 21. The Dolphins are on the board here. What are you thinking here? Because it feels like whatever we end up with, Dolphins fans get angry.
Yeah, I've heard that DeJean may really fit what they want and what they like and what they value. I think that the draft playing out this way, they lost Christian Wilkins in free agency, and to get Johnny Newton still on the board would be such a again, you're kind of filling a draft pick with a need, which sometimes you shouldn't do that and draft for need. But I think Rick made the point earlier. There's really Murphy and Newton as the first round guys. Maybe guys like Chris Jank or somebody else slides in late first, more likely than not. So if you want a defensive tackle, it's Newton or it's second, third round hope from there too. And I think with that being their biggest need and how good Johnny Newton is, I just get really excited about him too. But again, I think you can make argument for DeJean, Grant Barton, right, guards in need as well too. But I think Johnny Newton's hard to find.
Give me Newton. It's easy. And I think with the cornerback, you're sort of speculating on how it translates sometimes. Like Joey Porter Jr. dropped to the second round for a reason. All right, you guys going to ask Debo what he wants? You're just going to pick for him?
No, let Debo, because he just sits there and does buttons all day. Let him feel part of the show.
I will point out, Rick, when we did the three-round mock draft, Eagles fans were not super pumped with Debo selections. I'll just say that for the Eagles. So,
go ahead, redeem yourself, Debo.
I'm going to throw it at Josh. DeJean or Latu?
From a pure value standpoint, it's Latu. Positional needs, what they need for this upcoming season, probably Cooper DeJean. But if I'm given the choice, Debo, this is what Debo's doing. He's throwing it to me because he knows Eagles fans are going to get mad at me now. That's exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, Debo, stop being so sensitive.
I took Jackson Powers Johnson before he dropped to like the fourth round. That's why people are getting upset.
What are you doing, Debo?
I would take Cooper DeJean.
Okay.
All right, hit the button. Cooper DeJean it is. That team that they're in such disarray. I mean, I feel pretty good about what Eric and I are doing. All right, we're back up here, Eric. Byron Murphy at 11. I mean, what a time to be alive. The Patriots take Byron Murphy at 11, get a ton of draft picks at 23. Michael Penix Jr. still sitting there.
Yeah, I wonder, and again, it's one of rumors about a possible trade happening with Brandon Ayuk.
Oh.
And the Patriots, again, in this scenario, they pass on a quarterback at 3 and now they have an extra first, and do they make sense to kind of be a one-year Ayuk and see if Brissett's the guy? I'm not sure that's the answer here, but I'd be intrigued if the Patriots trade back and have an extra first and kind of be creative there. Brandon, they got the cap space for the future too, but if they stay put here at 23, I think you want to go offense, whether it's offensive tackle, receiver. Philosophically, I don't – trading back and then taking a quarterback feels a little defeatist, so I'm against the quarterback in this situation. But
it really does.
But I think that offensive line or receiver would be the two options here if they can trade back too. If they don't get Brandon Ayuk, but this would be a very fun Brandon Ayuk team for kind of a one-year turnover. What do you think,
Ryan? Yeah, I love the idea of Brandon Ayuk, but again, it goes back to, I mean, maybe Jacoby Brissett is that guy for a year, but then what's the long-term plan? And then you're without the first-round pick that you had to give for Ayuk potentially. I do like – so hit offensive line real quick. So Amarius Mims there. I like him.
I think he's a guy that teams know the talent is there with Kingsley. The question is you know, will he reach that talent? But we could look back in a couple of years and be like, man, he should have been the, you know, one of the first tackles taken as well too. So I think for the Patriots, you know, a left tackle maybe is more of a need, but Tyler Guyton, he's played both. He's a good player.
Tyler can play both. Well. Yeah. Jordan has some flexibility. He may have to move inside and hit wide receiver real quick, Debo. I mean, is Ladd McConkey too obvious here?
I think he'd be the cliche pick for the old guard too. But you know, I think for New England, they want to be competitive again this year. They don't want to be in a rebuilding mode too. And an offensive lineman, Amarius Mims, has a ton of upside. I don't think you want to play him year one in the NFL. Yeah. Whereas Tyler Guyton, I think, is a little more transitable skill set to play early on too.
All right, so take Tyler.
He'd be my pick.
Yeah, let's do Tyler Guyton.
O-line, D-line for the rebuild. I love it.
There we go. Building on the inside out, Rick. That's how you do it. 24 also takes an offensive lineman off the board for the Cowboys. But Amarius Mims is still there if you're so interested.
What do you think, Josh? Mims?
I'm good with Mims. I didn't think you were sold on Mims.
I'm not, but I think that he has too much upside. So
the alternative that we're looking at is, I believe Graham Barton is still out there. So you could put Tyler Smith at left tackle, Graham Barton at guard. Are you more comfortable with that scenario?
I know if Barton comes in, he's going to be ready to play right away. And as they've said, that they're all in this year, whatever that means, because it seems to take on a different definition every day. to me, Graham Barton's a more complete player right now than Mims is, and maybe the safest pick out of the two.
That's a good call. Good call, Josh. All right, Graham Barton it is. So I think Rick and I had like a defensive tackle going here at one point in one of our mock drafts, and Packers fans were pretty happy with that. Johnny Newton's gone here. Offensive line seems like an obvious need, but I know Packers fans get touchy about that. Let me ask you this, Eric. What do you think about Jordan Morgan because of his position flexibility? Because they need help outside and in. Maybe they love Rashid Walker. Maybe they don't. David Bakhtiari's gone. Or is this a little too rich for you, or are you targeting some other position?
No, I like Jordan Morgan a lot, too, and they have valued that, right? One of their best picks the last couple of years is Zach Tom, who could play guard, center, tackle for them as well, too. So they've always valued those kind of guys. I do think for them, they've looked to the future the last couple of draft picks, right? Guys like Lucas Van Ness was drafted to be kind of a third edge rusher, but has all the tools to be an elite player. I think Amarius Mims kind of fits that for the offensive line, that hey, he might be a guy that doesn't play at all as a rookie, but by year two to year three, they've got their franchise left tackle. And, you know, the Packers, I think they're a little ahead of schedule, right? They've transitioned Aaron Rodgers. They have Jordan Love, and now they're a team that's like a playoff winning team. So I think it could be a best player available to keep adding to our offense and defense, and, you know, a corner, a safety, a D-line call makes sense too. But I think for where they're at right now, I think Amarius Mims fits what they've liked in the past. I think he's the highest upside guy probably left on the board outside of Latu, and he'd be my choice if he was here.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with that. I like Amarius a lot, and I think had he stayed healthy in the South Carolina game, we're having a different conversation. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll get through 26 through 32 right after this. All right, back at it. Packers just selected. Tampa Bay's on the clock. Josh and Rick.
Josh, don't even think about it. Tell them to pull in the card because they went over their 10-minute time limit on the last pick. So we actually could have jumped them if this was a real draft.
We're working through some things. Who do you guys want?
I think it's a no-brainer. They need edge help, and Latu's still sitting there, and I can't believe we're getting that value at 26. So to me, that's a no-brainer. We felt fine with his medical. Take Latu.
Gosh, that hurts. That hurts 27. You don't have to do it. Well, you did it. All right. I would have loved Latu to be there at 27, Eric. He is no longer there. We have Marvin Harrison Jr. Offensive lines consideration. Amarius Mims would have been fantastic here. He is also gone. Kick Paris to the other side. What are you thinking?
I think they signed, four low contract defensive tackles in free agency, right? Which kind of feels like we want to be able to not draft that kind of if we don't have to. But yeah. I think Darius Robinson being on the board at D tackle, who can kind of play, you know, a little more versatile D tackle, D end at, you know, five tech, whatever else, either, you know, I think he'll go in late first, early second. He was invited to the NFL draft. So the NFL thinks he might go first round, especially this year too. But he's one that jumps out to me if they want to go on the defensive side of the ball right away with the board left. What do you think?
Love it. Yep. He's got that tweener ability. He ran the 4.95. I don't care about that. He is much twitchier than that. We've talked about him a lot. Had a really good Senior Bowl and a great season as well. Make it happen. Debo, Darius Robinson, 27 to the Cardinals. Marvin and Darius. That's a much better football team. Next up, the Buffalo Bills. Wide receiver sitting there, unless you guys want to go in another direction.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know who's going to line up. Diggs is gone. Traded to Houston. Gabe Davis is gone down in Jacksonville. I don't know who Josh Allen is going to throw to, and they play in cold weather. I think a big receiver with upside, unless you want to go somewhere else, Josh.
No, I think we're on the same page. I would be leaning towards Adonai Mitchell in this situation just to give them a little bit more of a vertical threat. Obviously, Ladd McConkey has been a darling on the podcast, but I think Mitchell gives them a little bit more of what they're looking for the upcoming season.
Good pick. Take Mitchell, Debo.
We've reached a stage of the mock draft where Rick has had enough. By the way, Rick, if you just agreed to a mock draft for the website, you wouldn't have to do all these other mock drafts, but this is your punishment. All right. Eric, I'll just tell you a popular choice here for both Rick and I when we go through these. And he always happens to be sitting here, and he makes sense in that he'll be opposite Aiden Hutchinson's Chop Robinson. But I'd be interested in your thoughts of what you think Detroit needs to do here at 29.
You know, I think their biggest need is guard for the future, right? Kevin's always on a one-year deal. That's the biggest one. But there really isn't a guy. I know. It seems like you guys like Jackson Powers Johnson. I don't think he'll go round one. If he does it, maybe it's this spot. But I think the Lions are a ripe trade down team. Mm. And I wanted to see if I just got a call, if you did, Ryan, but from the Carolina Panthers, who picked up in this draft. And they're saying, man, we need some receiver help pretty bad. And now we just lost A.D. Mitchell. We got one guy left on our board. And he happened. Well,
you know what?
You guys have go ahead.
You guys looked at the wrong call. It was the New England Patriots.
Oh, the Patriots want to come up too.
From 34.
We got two offers now. We got two offers now. Okay.
And I'm going to say that New England has enough, you know, I would say third, fourth rounder to move up from 32 to 29. And if you guys are willing to do that handshake deal, we can get something done.
Yeah, let's let the Patriots move up so Rick can make a pick and feel like he's part of the conversation. Because I want to see how he messes this up at 29.
All right, yeah. Josh, I'm sorry. This is a scout in a corner move.
You locked him in the closet, and then you went and made the phone call.
Yeah.
Wait till you see what he does here. All right, this better be who I think it is. It better not be Ricky Pearsall. I'll just say that.
Is this going to be like when everybody thought the Saints were moving up to take Lamar and then they took who was it, Marcus Davenport that year?
No. This is a no-brainer. I'm coming up to get Michael Penix Jr. to get that fifth-year option.
Oh my gosh, he's taking Michael Penix Jr. I thought you were going to take Ladd McConkey. Michael Penix Jr. Unbelievable.
I can't believe for me to move back into the first round, get that fifth-year option. And to get a quarterback who I was potentially talking about in the mid rounds when I was there, to get him at 29. We did that with Teddy Bridgewater. Baltimore did it with Lamar Jackson. I think New England comes up and gets a quarterback from 34 to 29 with Michael Penix Jr. still sitting there.
And Eric, I'm assuming that the Carolina Panthers were looking for a wide receiver at that point, correct?
Yeah. Maybe they might call again at some point in the back end of the
first round. Yeah. Did they want to call it 30? Because the.
No.
Next up are the Baltimore Ravens.
Why would you call it 30? And there's plenty of receivers up there.
You might
go ahead. I'm just the guy in the corner.
Our call was ignored. Our call was ignored at 33. So you guys can pick at 30.
All right, 30 it is.
Whose turn is it?
You guys are up at pick 30. Debo's working on the mock draft machine behind the scenes. So you got to work off your memory about who you might want at 30.
We have to get an offensive lineman. So I don't know, Josh, if you want to go Powers Johnson, although they don't need a center as much as they need a tackle. I don't know if it's a reach. If Jordan's there right now, 31, San Francisco needs offensive linemen as well. Mm. So if we're going to take an offensive lineman, we need to take one here or else we're going to get stuck.
I agree. I just don't know who that player is going to be. Because I believe, like you said, Jordan Morgan's still available.
Then it gets a pretty slim pickings. Kingsley Simatea
is there. Kingsley is still there. Otherwise it's primarily interior players. So your options are pretty thin at the tackle position. And that's really if you're comfortable with Jordan Morgan playing right tackle.
You know who's better, who's still on the board, and I definitely need corner help as well? Would you consider Nate Wiggins here?
Oh, gosh, of course.
I would. Yeah, I think it's the best value at this point. I feel more comfortable in him making that transition, so I'm on board with that.
Take it.
All right, Nate Wiggins it is. So 31, the 49ers are there. They need offensive line help as well. I don't know how you feel about Chop sitting there. Or wide receiver in case Brandon Ayuk goes bye-bye. What do you think, Eric?
I think in this scenario, too, again, I think the Panthers and the Chiefs with Rashee Rice's situation are going to be in the receiver market. So I think the Panthers will have to go up here and move up two spots and give up maybe a day three pick, even though they don't have a lot of picks left either. But the Niners probably have a few more needs to address depth-wise as their kind of cap crunch starts to happen, too. So if we can do a Panthers trade, if they called again and said, hey, we'll give you a fourth-round pick, of two spots. What do you think about that, Brian?
I love it. I want to see who the Panthers are targeting here. So fingers crossed.
The Panthers GM, I have a hunch who you want to take here as well, too. But I still think, and maybe Rick can chime in too on this too, is that Xavier Worthy being as fast as he was, it's hard to think that guy doesn't go in the first round. Just with how fast he is and how impressive he is there too. I think a lot of teams like him there. If he went much earlier than this, I wouldn't be shocked either. But
Rick's shaking his head because he doesn't like little wide receivers. But Rick, I think you will attest after having we watch every single Bryce Young snap, and it was tough they have to create separation.
I understand that. Okay. I do really understand that. And I appreciate the effort you guys are putting into this. So are you telling me they moved up two spots?
Yeah.
To get Xavier Worthy? Are you kidding me?
It only cost a fourth round pick.
Oh my God. All I'm going to say here, just realistically.
I'm glad everyone gets to experience this. Go ahead.
I got two more picks and I got my pick of receiver. Okay. So unless you think you're trying to jump Kansas City, but if they take Xavier Worthy, more power to him. If not, then I'd be happy with Ladd McConkley too. So I just don't understand why you would waste a pick to go up two spots when you know you're going to get a receiver if you sit there at 33. You got the top pick in the second round. And usually on Friday, you're going to get a ton of calls on potentially moving down, depending on what the board looks like.
What if you love Xavier Worthy, though?
Okay, do what you want to do.
I think the Panthers and the Niners both have fun in this trade, and the Panthers get a receiver who they think could be. I personally think that Xavier Worthy is a notch above the rest of these guys, and for the sake of a fourth or fifth round pick, I don't want to lose my guy. So,
Eric, I love you, but I will not take the Ladd McConkey slander. That's where I draw the line. By the way, quickly, if you're watching on YouTube, Debo had Xavier Worthy go 31 to San Francisco, but that's because the trade machine is broken. That actually is for the Panthers pick. So don't get it.
And the Patriots took Michael Penix Jr. at 29, not the Lions.
Right. For the same reason. So you can get mad at Debo, but just understand that the trade machine wasn't working. All right. The last pick in the first round, I think Rick has been resuscitated after passing out, seeing Xavier Worthy go at pick 31. Josh, Rick, you have one final pick in this mock draft. What are you guys doing?
Go ahead. This is just perplexing to me, Josh. I have to gather my wits.
Read the shirt.
It is surprising that Chop Robinson is still available at this point. Kansas City has used a first-round pick on edge rusher a couple of times in the past 5 years. That has to be a consideration because of value. You also lost L'Jarius Sneed this offseason, but I don't really feel comfortable with any of the cornerbacks available here. Go back to best available again real quick, Debo, if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, my God. Ladd McConkey is staring you in the face.
Ladd McConkey is there. So, for me, I think it would be between one of those two players. Rick and I actually have a pickleball duo competition coming up here soon. So, Rick, you make the final pick, and we'll get out of here.
Who do I get between Chop and Ladd, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, you get another one?
Cornerback, if you want.
I don't like the corners here, so. It's just Rashee Rice is going to be gone for maybe up to six games. You know, they drafted the pass rusher, edge rusher from Kansas State last year. They got Karlofkas. So I need to get receiver help bad. So I'm going to go with Ladd McConkey here at 32.
All right, let's do a dollar bet outside of me and you, Rick. We'll have you and Eric do a dollar bet. Who is? And we do this every show. I'm usually losing $50 or $60 by the end of it, Eric. But, Eric, I'll give you first choice. I think I know the answer. Who is more productive in year one, Xavier Worthy or Ladd McConkey?
I mean, it's probably Ladd McConkey's more productive in year one. I think what Xavier Worthy has is impossible to replicate besides five or six guys in the NFL. So I think more impactful, I might still say Xavier Worthy, but I think Ladd McConkey is going to catch 50, 60 balls next year, no matter where he goes.
All right, Dollar. So let's give Eric we'll give Eric Xavier. I saw you subtly shaking your head, Rick. Do you want to respond?
Yes, if Xavier Worthy has more production than Ladd McConkey on a dollar bet, I will give you $5.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you'll shave your head. How about that?
Plus 500. All right.
Yeah. So if Worthy has a bigger impact for Carolina than McConkey does for Kansas City, I'll give you 1-5 odds. I'll take Ladd McConkey and then just put the dollar towards Ryan's Vimmo or whatever the hell that is, because I don't have
Vimmo. I love it. So you will not, in fact, shave your head if Xavier's better than Ladd.
No, but I can guarantee you $5 that you can get into Ryan's Vimmo and send me my
Vimmo. I love it. Vimmo. All right. I just want to say, I'm glad that everyone gets to experience Rick in some form or fashion. And they don't think it's just
having fun.
And I say this all the time. Whenever we hit the road and Eric, we see guys that used to work for Rick, they always say to a person, yeah, that sounds familiar. Listen to that podcast. Brings back a lot of memories. So it makes me feel good. You guys should feel good that Rick loves you as much as he loves me. But the good news, Rick, only 3 days away, the draft will be here. And then we can all take the summer off for it.
Yeah, no, we'll start in summer scouting school. Debo's never stopped it. So we got to start in probably July, doing the top five each positions.
I don't think it'll be July. And you know, Eric's defense. Eric, you start up, but you probably already started up 2025 anyway, so you're already looking ahead.
We are on to cross-check meetings for next year, so maybe you guys ready to have some summer scouting. We're ahead of the game. Let's do it.
Eric's our guy. So that's it for episode 149. Thanks to Eric, Shrine Bowl director, for joining us. That was awesome, Eric, for some different perspectives. We got something a little different. Our guy Josh was here. He'll be doing draft coverage down in Fort Lauderdale over the next week, so that's good. And Rick, you and I will be in Stamford, Connecticut together once again.
Can't wait. Draft.
I think we're doing things every single day this week and then a couple of days early next week. So thanks to all you guys. Thanks to Diva for producing. Thanks to you guys who watch, listen, and comment. And we'll see you guys tomorrow.